The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
My buddy just wrote me, and he saw the show today, the Sports Grid TV Coast to Coast show on a bar. He was at a bar in at the beach in Florida. Said he looks up at the TV and who do I see? Pharrell. Awesome. How do you, how long have you been doing this? What channel is it? The bartender doesn't even know. Looking sharp in the the blazer. So I'm glad they found it. I told them all about the network. So that's cool. People watching it everywhere and on TVs and bars all over the country. That's cool.
And find out what bar in Florida that is. We might have to go do a big fans of the show. We have to go do a remote down there. I mean, geez, when the world is right again.
Right. I know that he lives in Boca. So, I mean, so I don't know where he saw it. So I'm sure he's texting me right now. So I'm, you know, kind of busy doing this. So it's hard for me to be distracted or whatever. But I told him, yeah, that's it. That's the deal. That's what I'm doing. Because he's like, I didn't even know you left. CBS. And I was like, yeah, I'm doing the Sports Grid now. It's cool. It's sports betting 24/7. It's badass. I like it. So anyway, I do enjoy it. So I enjoy, you know, the freedom to talk sports betting, right? And to talk about, you know, props and bets and money lines and spreads and teasers and parlays and, you know, who everyone's taken and what the action is. And then, you know, I'll be honest. Carver High knows this is true. I'm not a huge prop guy. I know that I've enjoyed, I guess, doing props at the Super Bowl every year, but it's not like I jump up and down for them. I know that Carver High is great at them. Mafia is great at them at, you know, prop betting. Also, you know, Carver High and I have gotten involved certainly in Vegas many times with, in-game betting. I'm just being honest. When I'm in Vegas or whatever, I'll do it. When I'm at home, I'm not sitting there doing it. So it depends, I guess, on where I am. We got a lot going on this hour.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table. with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Carver High struggling with the Buffalo Miami of Ohio over at 55 and a hook. Oh. And right now it's at 52 and they kicked a field goal, Miami, instead of scoring, which the language coming down the line from Carver High was deplorable.
Well, let's be fair here. I mean, you're losing 42-7. What are you gaining by kicking that field goal there in the fourth quarter? Like, try to score a touchdown. I knew it was over. I told you. When the guy got – it was a big play for Miami of Ohio. He got tackled at the three, and I said, this is a problem. These guys aren't going to get in now. You needed one more. It's 55 and a half. You know, you just needed a touchdown and the extra point to get it over to 56, and now we're sitting here needing four more points. Buffalo is up so much that they're not really, you know, too eager to move the ball. You need Miami of Ohio to get it back and press a little bit.
Miami is going to get the ball back now.
But, let's go.
You still don't think there could be like a big play in this game?
Oh, I hope so.
6 minutes left.
I hope so. I mean, there's been a lot of scoring. There was, considering it was a scoreless first quarter, I thought the over was dead at that point. But there's been a lot of points.
So, do you think Indiana can beat Ohio State in Columbus? Do they have a chance in hell of winning that game? Like, you heard Kent, he said he thinks they'll be in the game. Do you believe that?
I mean, I would never say never to anything, but I can't, you know, I wouldn't feel very comfortable about it, that's for sure. I'm interested to see next week or when the game is, when what the line is going to be for that game in Columbus, because we've obviously seen some massive spreads for the Buckeyes at home, including this week where they're going to be playing Maryland. But, could they be in the game? Of course they could be in the game. It's hard for me to sit here and say they're going to beat them, though.
But, I mean, what do you think the number will be? They're the number 10 team in the country. If they beat Michigan State, they'll go in there 4-0, undefeated, ranked number 10. How can you not think that it's going to be single digits?
I think it'll be 14.
Still think it'll be 14?
Yeah, I think it'll be 14. I think that 14, between 10 and 14. I think it'll be double.
But that gives them no respect whatsoever.
No, it does not. And like you said, it's been a long time since Indiana football has mattered. Now, this is an unbelievable start. This is fun. We're all enjoying it. But this is, you know, the Ohio State Buckeyes, the Ohio State University. So
screw them.
Exactly. That's how I feel about it as well. I would love to see it. Let me just tell you, I'd pay good money to see Indiana beat Ohio State. It would be the greatest thing ever.
So do you think that you can explain this hockey situation to me at all? I know that's a drastic, 360 going the opposite direction. I'm just spinning out here in the desert in a hot rod Charger. I just am shredding tire right now. I was driving to Vegas, and now I'm turning around and going to L.A. All I know is that you need to explain to me what's going on with the NHL and these hub cities all these games.
Here's basically, I'll give you as easy a breakdown as I think that I can. So Bettman said, basically, they're still exploring all the options. He says he doesn't know yet if we're going to have everybody in their home arenas, some with fans, some without. He said that option is still on the table. He said the other option is to have like these mini hubs where he sends a bunch of teams into one place. You know, they play each other for 10 to 12 days, and then everybody goes home, and then they'll go to another mini hub and play another set of teams, you know, for 10 or 12 days. He says he will not do what they did in Toronto for the playoffs. He's not going to lock these guys in a bubble for 2 months and make them play a regular season like that. He says he will not do that. So he's got a few options, and there's going to be he says they're considering some realignment for this year because of the situation, which means basically all the Canadian teams are going to be in one division because they're not going to be able to cross the border. So all the teams, West Coast to East Coast, the seven Canadian teams will probably all be in one division, and they'll have to get very regionalized with what they're doing. You know, you're not going to have the New York and East Coast teams playing, you know, the Kings this year. It's probably going to be a very regionalized regular season.
So are they going to – you're telling me that basically the Canadian teams are going to just play Canadian teams. They're just going to keep playing the same teams the whole season?
I think that everybody – I think that, well, I don't think it's going to be 80 games. See, that's the other part of the trickiness. I think it's going to be 60 to 70. And I think that you're going to have, you know, four groups of seven or eight teams. And one of those is going to be obviously the seven Canadian teams. I think that then you'll take the eight or so teams in the very upper Northeast, Isles, Devils, Rangers, Buffalo, Boston, Philly, Pittsburgh, you know, Washington, put them all in one thing, and they're all going to play each other a bunch of times.
Right.
You get all the West Coast teams. You know, they're going to regionalize everything. You might play the other bubble in your conference or something.
So who do those teams play in, like, Florida and in Nashville and
well, that's the thing. That. They'll probably put, you know, the two Florida teams, Carolina, Nashville, Dallas. You know, they're going to keep the South, Southern, Southeast type of teams together. St. Louis, you know, things are going to look different. Things are not going to look
St. Louis ain't in the South.
I know that. I'm trying, but when you get those teams in the middle, they got to play with somebody.
But anything like Chicago, Detroit, and all those teams, Minnesota, in Dallas,
St. Louis will be with
Colorado, maybe, and, you know, the Dallas Stars and stuff like that. Those teams, I think, could be in a middle of the country pack, and then the West Coast could be the West Coast.
Yeah, Colorado, Arizona, Vegas, and the three California teams, that's six. You'd probably throw, you know, Dallas that way as well, just because the West Coast teams need to play somebody.
Don't you think they could put the Tampa and the Panthers in a in the block with all the East Coast teams and Carolina and Nashville too, and just have all of those teams right there?
It's going to come down to how they're going to situate it. I mean, that would be the ideal thing to do. I don't know how they're going to try to break it down. If they have seven Canadian teams by themselves, you would think they're going to try to regionalize it with the same number of teams. That's just I don't think they really. I'm sure they know what they're doing. We don't know yet how it's all going to shake out. The main thing is there's going to be hockey, and like the playoffs, it's going to be a little different than what we're used to. Some people will cry about it.
How are they not going to go broke?
Well, that's going to be an issue. Will they have these hubs or mini hubs, if it comes to that, will they have them in cities that you're going to be allowed to have fans there? And that is a key question.
I don't see how that can happen. How can you have fans? You know, look, they have fans at football games now, and there is no way I gave up my Steeler season tickets. So there is no way you can tell me that it's safe to go to NFL or college football games, or, you know, I don't believe for one minute it's going to be safe to go to an NHL game. That you would, like, what person in their right mind would be like, you know what I think I'll do tonight? I think I'll go to a hockey game, and I'm going to leave my wife and kids at home, and then I'm going to go with my buddies to the hockey game. I'm going to get COVID, and I'm going to bring it home to my family. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, because you're also now talking about a situation where, you know, you're going to sporting events that are indoors. You know, with these football games, you're outdoors, outside stadiums, and, you know, basketball and hockey arenas are inside. I mean, they're just, you know, things are closed in.
What if in Canada they just did, you know, pond hockey, and they got, and then, you know, like the families could show up and stand on the sidelines, like, or, you know, all the fans, and, like, you know how you go to, like, a kid's soccer game now, you see all the families standing around the field, and they're all screaming and yelling at the kids playing soccer. They could just play on, like, a lake somewhere and, you know, Canada, and everyone could go to the games, and they'd be outside throwing snowballs and stuff and drinking.
Well, you could do that.
Ice fishing.
Could do that, or we're used to the Winter Classic and the outdoor games now. Make these mini hubs. Make the mini hubs all be outdoors. Make them, you know, Let them all play at an outside rink at some stadium. You know, set up a rink.
Let the fans go out and get drunk and watch the games.
Which is what everybody really wants. We want the fans to go out and get drunk. That's a very important part of the game.
Very important. Do you think that do you think they'll actually pull it off and have a season and a and again the Stanley Cup playoffs and a Stanley Cup champion?
The way things are going in football right now, I hope that they get it started, but I don't know if they're going to get started on time.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm reading this story about Mike Tyson using a fake package to and baby, let's just say, baby formula to pass drug tests. And I'm not talking about baby food, okay? I'm talking about liquids. He had to pass drug tests, so he used his own child's you-know-what, and he used a fake package, and he had a device. Do you remember the Wizinator? Do you remember that thing? Do you remember hearing about that one, Carver High?
Yes.
Your boy Iron Mike pulled out the Wizinator. He said it was awesome, man. He said he never took PEDs during his illustrious career, but he did use cocaine and marijuana regularly. he divulged that he initially used his wife's before switching to the baby out of fear that the testers could figure out that it was from a woman. One time I was using my wife's and my wife was like, baby, you better not hope it comes back like pregnant or something. And I said, nah. So we ain't going to use that anymore. We're going to use the babies because I got scared that the, you know what, might come back pregnant. Unbelievable. Anyway, he was 37-0 before Buster Douglas knocked him out in Tokyo or whatever. Became the heavyweight champ again. He was never the same after the loss to Douglas. Lost consecutive fights to Holyfield, lost a fight to Lennox Lewis later in his career, was defeated in three of his last four fights before retiring in 05. He went 50-6, 44 wins by way of knockout. He's getting ready in a couple of weeks to fighting right after Thanksgiving, Roy Jones Jr. in an exhibition bout in Carson, California. At the Dignity Health Sports Park. I thought that was that fight was going to be at the Staples Center. Did they move it or something?
Who knows?
Anyway, Carver High really excited about the Tyson fight. He's only worried about that over.
Well, it's over. It's not happening.
There
should be an investigation on that guy for kicking a field goal down 42-10 with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I mean, honestly, bro.
He should be fired. Deontay Wilder looking to enforce the Fury trilogy fight through the courts. They're using a dispute resolution provision in the contract to enforce the bout. According to reports in The Athletic, a retired judge will preside over mediation this week before beginning a binding arbitration. We're going into it very optimistically this week, Shelley Finkel said, his manager. Fury beat Wilder in February. I was at the fight. You were at the fight with me, right?
I was at that fight.
But the losing side was given 30 days to exercise right to an immediate rematch injury, and then the COVID forced a delay to the bout, causing Fury to move forward with a December 5th match against Ajit Kabayel, a real household name there. And they are fighting December 5th. Of course, they fought to a draw in 2018, but Fury kicked his ass in the second fight. The third fight was set for October 3rd and then moved to December 19th before TV partners pushed it back to 2021. And then it's just, you know, not happening at all, right? Like, that, there's no real talk of that fight happening. But I guess if a judge says he has to fight him, then that'll be another story entirely. I actually am not interested in that fight. Like, the first fight I thought was great. That was a great fight. And it was a draw. Fair enough. Because remember, he knocked him down in the 12th round and he got up. Somehow God lifted him off of the canvas and Fury got up and finished the fight and actually threw hands. But he had been knocked down twice in that fight. I cannot believe he got up. And we know that, you know, he won the fight. Fury won that fight with points. I thought he dominated that fight, the first fight, dominated it. But then Wilder knocked him down twice and once in the money round. So I was in complete agreement with a draw. Like, you cannot take a belt away from a champion that knocks the guy down in the 12th round, right? And I mean, he leveled him with a knockout punch. Like, the guy was out cold for like 8 seconds and then he somehow popped up. It was like God lifted him up. And I just felt that it was a draw. The second fight, I was at both fights. The second fight, he got his ass beat. And, you know, he's alleged that that Fury packed his gloves, you know, that his gloves were illegal and that he had, you know, he's accused him of everything, but, you know, there's people that actually, you know, believe it, that he, had packed his gloves. And, you know, I've heard everything from rolls of quarters were inside there and everything else, but all I know is that it's too late to prove that, right? So you would have had to prove that in the ring the night of the fight. And after the fight, when he took off those gloves, you would have had to have caught him red-handed right there. And they didn't do that, right? So that's not going to hold water. So then Fury basically moves on. He was going to fight this guy, what's his name? Anthony Joshua, right? That was the rumor, that he was going to fight him and that they had agreed to fight. And then that fell through because I think basically the COVID. And then now he's fighting this guy no one's ever heard of. And at least not the average layman, the normal boxing fans, just like a guy that'd be like, oh, wow, there's a fight on, I'll watch. No one knows who that guy is. Okay?
I think he's still on track to fight Joshua. The original plan was Fury had to fight Wilder and Joshua had to fight some other hack. And the deal was, that Aram said, was that then when after those two fights were done, then it would be Fury and Joshua in like March or April or something like that. So, or May, sometime in the spring. So I think that the Fury Joshua thing is still in the mix, but they each were contracted to fight one time before they faced each other. So I think that that's what Fury's doing now here, fighting this guy on the 5th.
Right. Well, he'll kill him and that'll be that. And I know who you're, I know that I've seen all the stuff on Joshua fighting this, this guy. I know exactly who he is. I just can't think of his name. Starts with a P, right? Another hack. So they'll eventually figure it out. But I got to be honest with you. I don't want to see another. I know that sounds crazy. I just don't want to see it again. I don't want to see Wilder and Fury a third time, because I thought Fury really, you know, laid the bar, you know, he put the bar at another level with that, not, you know, just beat him senseless. Knocked him out. I mean, he just messed him up.
It wasn't close. It
was bad.
Close.
It was bad. And you know, I was just, so I didn't want to talk about that anymore. I'm sitting here watching like Tiger Woods right now, right? Winning that fifth green jacket at the 2019 Masters as we get ready for the Masters this week. And I got to tell you, like, they're showing him being interviewed and everything else now. I'm not one to talk, but I got to tell you, he looks really old to me. I mean, he looks really old to me. Like, when he doesn't have his golf hat on and he's not out there in his red shirt on Sunday and his black pants and he's not out there tearing it up and looking shredded, when he's got, like, no hat on and he's at a press conference now and he's, like, got no hair left and he just looks old to me. I mean, I'm just like, bro, I can't even believe what I just saw. I just saw him doing an interview and he looked so old to me. It wasn't even funny. And I'm older than him. Believe me, you. And, I mean, you know, I'm not exactly Don Juan over here. I'm not, you know, and, you know, my days of having hair are clearly numbered, but I think that I have more hair than him. And I'm just sitting there looking at him like, wow, you really look old. But then again, he's been through a lot, right? There's nothing quite like having your wife chase you with a golf club down the street. That one pretty much, that'll make you age. The night that he crashed the car, do you remember? That one's a keeper. That'll put a few years on you. Now he's all, and he had more problems than that, right? Like, didn't he, you know, that was the wife that he lost, Ellen.
He had a lot of problems.
Well, he had his own, like, little phase there where he was going through the pills and the booze, right?
Yes.
So, and no one ever wants to, like, tell it like it is or put that on the table, but I will gladly. I love Tiger's game. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan just like everybody else. I love watching him play and I've always loved watching him play. I think the guy's a badass. He's incredible, but I cannot believe like his life off the golf course, right? Like what's, you know, kind of the stories that have happened with him, with the wife and the drugs and the, you know, the DUIs and all that. Like, you can't even like make that stuff up. It's like a bad movie, right? But do you think that he's got any chance at all, seriously, in this Masters this week in the rain in Augusta? Because they're saying it's going to rain every day.
I think that as we get to this portion of Tiger's career, and we've known for like the last 10 years, all that it's been about is how many more majors is he going to win? And is he going to get to Jack? And it's obviously doesn't seem like it's going to happen at this point. If there's one tournament, or shall I say one major on the calendar every year that you know Tiger can show up and play well at that course, it is Augusta. He knows it so well. He has won there a billion times. Here's the problem with Tiger now at this point of his career. We see it all the time. Can he play consistent for four straight days like he did you know, a year and a half ago when he won. Blow up and he blows up and things just go bad for him. He needs to have that consistency. Can he play for that many days in a row and get it done?
Are you willing to go? Are you going to have the sheet of integrity? I mean, because I'm looking at, like, if I'm going to go upsets right now, I'm going to go Louis Oosthuizen and Xander Schauffele. So the Masters starts Thursday, and, you know, I saw the weather reports or whatever that it's going to rain like every day. And like especially Thursday and Sunday is what I saw. But it that literally they're facing rain every single day. Like I think the first day is like literally 90% that it's going to rain. Sunday is just as bad. But Friday and Saturday's less is like 40 or 50% chance of rain. But I actually saw every day had prognosis of rain, the forecast. So I think it'll certainly affect that golf course if it's that wet and that soggy and that rainy. I got to tell you that I saw the golf course like for the first time. I'm seeing some, you know, coverage from Augusta, you know, leading up to the match. They had the hole in one thing today. I saw John Rahm hit that hole in one, skimmed it across the water, an amazing hole in one, and it rolled all over the green and came all the way to the back of the green and then rolled down a hill and into the hole. It was an amazing hole in one, but that's not my point. My point is that I saw this the golf course just looks different to me, you know, because it's November. It just doesn't look the same, even though it is. You know what I mean? It's the same course, but it's we've never seen it in November. It just, I don't know. I didn't see a lot of it. I just saw a couple of glances at it when they were showing it, Carver High, and it just didn't look the same to me. It just looked like, you know, it was late fall, and it looks like, you know, here where we are, obviously, it's, you know, fall foliage. You got all the brown and orange leaves, right? But down there, it doesn't seem like they have that. It kind of looks like winter down there, right? It looks like it's kind of darker. Maybe it was just the angle. Maybe it was the camera. Maybe it was the time of day that I was seeing the footage from. But it just looked different to me. It looked grimmer.
Yeah, it might have. Who knows what time of the day? Because obviously, one of the things that we're going to be dealing with here this week is, you know, on the East Coast right now, it gets dark at 4:30, quarter to five. You know, it's starting, and you know, the shadows come in a lot faster. So you're going to see the guys that go out in the later groups. And I think the latest tee is, I think I saw 12:30 or 1 or something like that is the last time guys are going out. But, you know, they're going to be out there in some different lighting than the guys that are out there at 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. So it's going to be a very different Masters. The foliage looks different. It's still the great course. It's still the great holes and the Amen Corner and all that stuff. But I'm excited to see a different challenge. With it being here in November. I think that the course is usually the story when you get to Masters Week, and it's a different way to tell the story here this year.
What do you think of when I said Louis Oosthuizen and Xander Schauffele?
Yeah, no, listen, Louis has played well here, obviously, in the past at the Masters. Guys that have won, I like guys, Scotty, that have won this tournament. They know the course so well. I'm big on Patrick Reed this weekend. I think that Patty Reed could be a factor. Right. You know, Bubba as well. I like those type of guys. And everybody's going to be talking about DeChambeau. We know that because he's going to be trying to basically hit it on the green every single hole. Right. He's going to be trying to crush it. It's interesting to see how he's going to attack.
Do you think he can win
off of the U.S.? Yeah, he's the betting favorite at FanDuel right now. Coming off a U.S. Open where he destroyed everybody. Let's be fair. He won it going away. So it's going to be a lot of fun this week. I like your picks. I think that, you know, Schauffele, it's almost his time. There's two guys who I think could step up and finally, get to a big stage like this and win a major, and it's Justin Thomas and it's Xander Schauffele. I think that those are two guys that we really need to watch this weekend.
Didn't Schauffele? I think he tied for second last year.
Yes, he was in the mix to the end.
So, yeah, I think he knows how to play the course. The guys come up big in all the majors, right? So. A lot of people think Brooks Koepka is going to come back and do well. He had a lot of injuries. Are you buying him?
Off the injuries, it's very hard. He hasn't played, obviously. But I say this about Brooks all the time. We say it every major. He is always in the mix at these majors. He never wins any other tournaments throughout the year. But when it comes to majors, Brooks Koepka is always right there, and this is one of them that he has not won, Scotty. So he has not won the Masters. He's got U.S. Opens. He's got PGA Championships. He does not have a major. He does not have a green jacket. So Brooks will be, as long as he's feeling healthy, Brooks is absolutely going to be a mix, and if you get him before Thursday, you can get a pretty good price on him right now. I think he's either 16 or 18 to 1 to win the whole thing. So Brooks is always a factor.
It says here in the church that I need a gift certificate to the Bunny Ranch.
Really?
I like that type of thinking. That's a fantastic. I've been invited there many times, as you know. What was my guy? Dennis Hoff, right?
Dennis Hoff.
He died, right? I think he died.
Yes, he did.
Well, that sucks. But and Air Force Amy, wasn't that her name? I think that was the chick.
I don't know.
Well, I think she came to my studio at Howard Stern naked or something. Anyway, Big Ben is on the COVID list. Do you think he'll be able to go against the Bengals on Sunday? That he, you know, I know he'll be available because he's got to sit for 5 days. So Sunday he'd be good to go, but nothing until Sunday. Do you think he'll go on Sunday against the Bengals at Heinz Ketchup Bottle?
Yeah, I don't think that this is going to be a problem at all. I think he'll play for the Steelers. The reason why I was reading today that he's a close contact is because his locker is next to Vance McDonald, and he sat next to Vance McDonald on the plane. So right. That's why Ben was wearing the mask on the plane next to Vance, all that. So he's gotten a negative test so far. So all he has to do, Scotty, is keep passing these negative tests, which it looks like he's going to, you know, God willing. And Big Ben will be out there on Sunday against the Bengals.
Are you surprised that they're 8-0?
Surprised? I got to give them a ton of credit. They just went through a very, very tough stretch of their schedule. You know, winning on the road at Tennessee, at Baltimore, and then even last week at Dallas. I know the Cowboys stink, but that was a very tough, tough game for them, playing the third straight week on the road, which only happened to them because of somebody else's, you know, COVID situation. The Steelers weren't the ones who got an outbreak of COVID back in late September, early October, and their game had to be moved. The Titans were the ones who had it, and it forced the Steelers' schedule to get screwed up, and they had to, you know, play three straight road games, and they were able to get through it, and now they come home. And here's the tricky part, and you know this. I think they're going to win the game this week, but when you talk about covering the number, this kid on the Bengals has been very good, Scotty, at covering these numbers every week. You know, they don't win every week, but it seems like Burrow, he's either getting the back door at the end or he's keeping the Bengals in the game. So it's hard to bet against Joey Covers right now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and I don't know if that number moved a lot. It was at 8 before, right? So, I mean, I can tell you.
FanDuel.
Yeah, I have it right here in terms of this week. It's it's off the board now because of all those players on the COVID list. But
on
it was originally
FanDuel, they have it up 6.5.
Is it 8? It was 8 before.
Yeah.
So you could have gotten the Bengals at 8 when the week opened up. So that's going to be interesting to watch. What do you think will happen with the Tua Herbert game in Miami?
Tua played very well against Arizona last week. Herbert's been good so far. I have this feeling that eventually the Chargers are going to win one of these close games. You know, they're in it every single week. Something ridiculous happens at the end of all
these.
All right,
so listen, you're breaking up really bad on me, Carver High, so I don't know what to tell you. I can't hear a word you're saying, so I'm done with it. I can deal with that. So I'm just hoping we make it to the finish line here. It seems like we're breaking up. We're breaking up, Houston. Carter. I feel like I'm the spaceship's going down. I mean, it is just a bad scene here. All right, let me give you these games tonight, how they ended. Carver High is not happy. Buffalo 42-10 over Miami of Ohio. So they covered the 9.5, but that total didn't happen at 55 and a hook. Kent State blows out Bowling Green 62-24. Boy, is Bowling Green awful. And Ohio beat Akron, but they didn't cover 24-10. Bearcats. So they lost to Central Michigan, and then they turn around and play the terrible Akron Zips, and they were laying 28 or whatever, 27 and a hook, and they couldn't do it because, you know, I've seen this kicker too. They got some freshman kicker that keeps missing kicks. He missed kicks against Central Michigan. He missed two more in this game tonight. Standing alone on the sideline, that poor kid, the freshman, he looks like he doesn't have a friend in the world. It's just awful. So anyway, the best games this week, I've already told you about the games on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. There's all these games. I guess, the best game tomorrow is that Toledo-Western Michigan game for sure. And then Thursday, Colorado State, Boise. Friday, the best games, Iowa and Minnesota at Minnesota. Iowa's actually favored there by 3.5. And then on Saturday, what is left of the entire batch of games that hasn't been canceled or postponed, I think one of the best games is Miami and Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. And Vodtech's favored by 2.5. Obviously, Indiana and Michigan State in East Lansing. Indiana favored by 7.5. Notre Dame and BC in Chestnut Hill. Notre Dame favored by 13.5. Those are, I think, three really good games. Wake Forest and North Carolina at Chapel Hill, I think, is going to be a really good game. North Carolina favored by 13.5. Hey, they're 5-2. Wake's 4-2. Wake gets no respect at all, but they're tough. I think that's going to be a good game. How about this one? TCU and West Virginia in Morgantown. West Virginia laying 3. I think that's a decent game for sure. Ohio State and Maryland, if they can get it in College Park. How about Ohio State laying 25.5? USC and Arizona in Tucson. USC's laying 14. I'm just looking at some of these other games. Like that Louisville-Virginia game doesn't appeal to me. Stanford hosting Colorado, laying 6.5. Stanford there. And then, you know, all that's left, Hawaii, San Diego State in the Mountain West. San Diego State laying 11 there. Baylor at Texas Tech. I think that could actually be a good game, even though they both stink. I've always said two bad teams hook up, it'll be a good game. Baylor's 1-4. Texas Tech is 2-5. Texas Tech laying 1.5, as I mentioned. Oregon and Washington State in at Washington State in Pullman. And Oregon's laying 10 there. I think this will be a good game. SMU at Tulsa. You're talking about SMU's 7-1, ranked 19th. Tulsa's 3-1. Tulsa's laying 2.5 there. Wisconsin and Michigan in Ann Arbor. That lines up to 4 with the Badgers favored. Northwestern and Purdue in West Lafayette. Northwestern favored by 3. And then Cal, Arizona State, not bad. Utah, UCLA, I heard that game might be in jeopardy. And Oregon State, Washington, decent games this week. All right, Pharrell, with you. And Marinci's up next. And Sports Rage. So let's hook up with him. Hey, what did you think when you heard about the hockey hubbing it in cities and keeping like Canada, all the Canadian teams playing and regionalizing all the teams around the country into hub cities and playing all the games like that? What did you think when you heard of those plans?
You know, my first reaction was, it's pretty cool, actually. I've always thought that an all-Canadian division would be a pretty cool concept to begin with. Yet, you know, you can't have every Canadian team playing in another city, Scotty. I think it is the best case scenario. The Toronto Raptors are probably going to find themselves in a host city this year, but there's too many Canadian teams to ask them all to play on the road for the entire season. An all-Canadian division is a good idea. And I see, and I just saw the Mountain West talking, Scotty, about college basketball, 20 games and basically like 5 home-and-home series is type of deal to limit the travel. Scotty, look, man, you know, I don't have to tell you, but, you know, players live in society and, you know, they breathe the same air as we all do, guys. You know, they might be on TV and, you know, they might make more money, but they still breathe the same air. COVID cases are spiking massively right now. The National Football League's had more COVID cases in the last, like, 4 or 5 days than they have, like, basically all year. You look at college football, big-time problems right now. Alabama don't have a bye week, right? Like, you know, stuff's going to get crazy. I'd be shocked if the college football playoff plays on schedule right now, Scotty. COVID's going to cause a lot of craziness, bro, coming up over the next month or two.
I got 5 seconds. What's it like in Vancouver?
You know, it's not as bad as everywhere, but it's getting there. And, you know, I'm not allowed more than 2 people visiting me. Everything closes at 10 o'clock Eastern.
All right, Marinci, have a great show. I'll see you guys tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4. Good night.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.